Easter coming up, Resurrection Sunday, Palm Sunday will be coming up, and we're going to have a message there that's going to follow the week of Jesus entering in his final entrance into Jerusalem. But I want to kind of look at today, and I think with the one slide up there, you can go back to that one, Tracy, of the cross, the power of the cross. You know, there is power from the cross, amen? There's a power that was emitted from the cross when Jesus went and hung on the cross for us. And today I want to look at this. It says, look at the cross and what we have come to gain from Jesus going to the cross for each of us. And he willingly went to the cross for you. Isn't that exciting? Willingly. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have called anything down to protect and to help and get him out of the bind that he was in. But the bind that he was in was prearranged by God from the beginning and the foundations of time on how he was going to reconcile us back to him, how he was going to give us an entrance into the eternity of where we're going to spend, and it's through that of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father except who? Through him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. It's not being good. It's not being water baptized. It's not taking communion. It's not doing good deeds. It's not doing any of those things, although they're all what? Good in what they're about and following. But you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died for us. So we know he spoke of the cross before his death. You know, we've kind of been sharing on that a little bit, even on Sunday school. Jesus stated out of Matthew 10:38, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, I don't know what's your cross. What is your cross to take up? How do we look at that as far as that cross? We can look at it, the cross of, yes, it's an instrument of death. We know back in those days that was a very painful death to die on the cross. It was saved for those of criminals, the criminal element that deserved to die. They would be put on the cross. The cross is an instrument of death, symbolizing in this verse is not the bearing of any particular burden. See, that's what I've asked. It says, when he says, if he who bears his cross, I don't know what your cross is to bear. I don't know what my, you know, I know what mine might be, but you've got yours, and what Jesus has specifically placed with upon us is to not necessarily burden or distress, but it's going to be the willingness to give one's life sacrificially for the Lord. Come unto me, you know. We call him Lord, but is he really the Lord of your life? We go into all these thoughts and what we call and claim him to be and what we claim to be to him, but are we truly a follower of his? Are we truly a disciple of his? You know, if we're following him, we want to be like him. If he has showed us the way and what to do and how to respond by love into different situations, then we too need to be doing what? Following his example. Following and having that compassion of him in this place that we are today. Earth, you know, the church, in your job, in your home, in your community, to have that compassion of Christ. Prior to the death of Jesus, it was a symbol of a full commitment, even if that meant death for those called to be his disciples. You know, so as his disciples were there, and he was sharing that, I'm going to be going, you know, I'm going to be taken and led to death. And they didn't quite understand these things as far as, I'm going to be rebuilding the kingdom, or the Jerusalem, and the city, and all these things. There's just a lot of things that he was relating to his disciples and trying to share with them in those last days or the last month or two prior to this. But prior to his death, it was a symbol of full commitment, even if that meant death for those being called his disciples. And we know that many of his disciples were martyred. They were killed for taking the stand for Jesus and preaching the good news and going out. Once Jesus died upon the cross and rose from the grave, it took on even more significance. The first being that Jesus' willingness to suffer for what? My sin. Your sin. His willingness to suffer for your sin. In Philippians 2:8 it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, as we are approaching Easter and Resurrection Sunday, next Sunday we're going to be looking at and taking Jesus through that final week. We're going to lead him up, and he's going to be put upon that cross. And then we're going to come back on April 1st, and believe me, it's not an April Fool's joke that he rose again. Amen? You know, there's some pastors out there. I was listening this past week, and we're in our groups talking, and it's interesting. One of the pastors is saying his message, and I don't know exactly what it's all going to entail, but he says it's kind of along the lines of an April Fool's joke, that it was no joke, you know, as April Fool's. That he hung on the cross, he died on the cross, yes, yes, and yes. And he was put in a tomb, yes, but he's not there. Hallelujah. And so we'll teach on, or not teach, but have a time on Easter Sunday, of Resurrection Sunday, of taking him out of the grave and where he is at now and what he is doing. But as we look at this today, and even after Easter, you know, we need to keep our ideas and kind of still have that cross in our sights. You know, we look at it a long, long time ago. I think one of the very first messages I had ever come up with, which probably goes over 15 years back now, was a thing of what does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to you? You know, you see it out there upon people's necks, you know, and they're wearing a cross and a pendant and things of that nature. And sometimes we had a lady in our church one time that she always used that as a possibility of as an opening question to get a conversation going with that person, to say, oh, I see you're wearing a cross. What does that mean to you? And see where they're at with that. And that could open up all kinds of opportunities of talking, right? As far as, oh, it's just a piece of jewelry, you know. Oh, really, you know. Maybe that person then would say, well, for me, it really means this for me. You know, the cross is the emblem and what Jesus died and accomplished for us. And it could be the other way, to where you find that when that person shares what that cross means to them, they too could be a believer just like you. You didn't know that until by just asking about, well, what does that cross mean to you? You know, why are you wearing that cross? And so we find the cross kind of draws our attention of why. What about? You know, when we take communion, it says to do this often in remembrance of me, Jesus said to the disciples and to those at the Last Supper. But for us, it's not to keep him hanging on the cross. It's not to remember, and that's the last place that I remember Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he's on the cross, and I'm going to take communion, and that's why I'm taking communion, because he says, do this in remembrance of me. I remember he's on the cross. No, I'm remembering all that he's accomplished for me, and I'm remembering that he has, you know, come out of the tomb. I'm remembering that his word says he's at the right hand of God the Father. I'm remembering him for all that he has done. I'm thanking him for all that he's done for me. And I'm thanking him for what he continues to do for me. You know, that's that time of communion and just remembering, reflecting upon him. So we have these things of remembering Jesus and what he was about. We look at the cross. You know, you look at it, and it was a common tool to be used for the execution of people that were really bad people back in the Roman Empire in those days. And Jesus was going to hang on the cross. It says in his word, a man that knew no sin, he became sin. To take that sin from who? Us. By his blood we've been cleansed. By his blood our sins have been washed clean. And it's not just a one-time deal, amen? It's a continuation of the power of the cross. It's a continuation of what is accomplished day in and day out. Even though it's over 2,000 and some odd years now past, you know, it's still the power of the cross. It's still the cross of today that we can make mention of, and we need to keep focused on, and not to think of it morbidly, but to say there is power that had come off of that cross. That cross could not hold Jesus down. Hallelujah. There was criminals that were hung next to him. And we always get to that thought process of, well, how are we going to know people are in heaven, and how fast are they going to have to repent, and do they have to go through all these processes and things? And my heart goes back to when that one thief says, Lord, remember me when you come into your paradise or your kingdom. And Jesus says, this day you might be there. No. He says, this day you too will be in my kingdom. That guy didn't have time to get off that cross and go through a 12-step program to get born again. or to go through procedures of a church doctrine to say, okay, now I think you're good enough to go to heaven. You know, Jesus said, just that man on the cross knew more about him than all those people standing on the ground wanting to crucify him. It's just amazing that, you know, the simplicity of that. When Jesus, you know, that man's spirit must have hooked up with that and knew, you know. Now the other guy, he was mocking him. Even that guy had to say, do you not know who you're talking about or talking to? We have the mocking of Jesus even today. You go out and speak into the world about the cross, people will mock you for speaking about the cross. Oh, that's a crutch to you? Oh, you find power in that? That's a piece of wood? That's an emblem? That's a tool for a crucifixion? That's a tool for death? There is power in the cross. It's the power of the cross that is evident for us today. Amen? But Jesus, he hung on the cross for you. He hung on the cross for me. So the one area is to look at that. The significance of that is the commitment that he had. And to fulfill that of his Father in heaven. Because did he not say, you know, Lord, Father, if you could, take this cup from me. But if not, if it is your will, here we go. The second point of the cross is that it reconciles us back to God. God wanted to bring us back to him after the sin in the garden, didn't he? Sin separates us from God. God is of no sin, amen? Jesus is of no sin. You will hear people in our society today say, oh, he's a sinner. He had multiple wives. He's done this, he's done that. Those are lies. Jesus was sinless but became sin for you, for me, for all of us. Accept it for what it says in his word and don't allow man to sit there and try to disconnect you from the cross, disconnect you from the love of Christ, disconnect you from the blood and what it has accomplished. It's our lifeline. Ask anybody going through health issues and things like that. What do they want to check out first? Your blood. Why do they want to look at your blood? There's life. There's information. There's things in your blood that tells the doctors everything about your life. You know? If you've got this, they can find it. If you need more vitamins, they can find it. If your liver's acting up, they can see it in the blood. If they see anything happening, it's in the blood. And our blood tells a story. Jesus' blood tells a story. Cleanses us of our sins, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And I love to pray for transfusions of people needing blood. People are sick, got something going on. Oh, Lord, there's power in the blood. Let's pray for healing. Let's begin to ask God for transfusion of the healing blood. Lord, by your stripes we're healed, by your stripes, by all these things, Lord. You know, you've not wanted us to be sick. You've not wanted us to be ill. You've not wanted us to be poor. You've not wanted us to be anything other than what you want us to be. And we're kingdom kids. Child of God. Hallelujah. But to sit there and say, oh, brother, sister, whoever, you got this going on, even myself, you know, different medications I'm on. I need to say, Lord, I need transfusion of your blood in me, Lord, because I need your healing power. I need your healing blood. I need you to cleanse me, flush me out, whatever it is, and let my blood show life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But some men, and how sad, even some churches and organizations don't speak about that. It's out of sight, out of mind. It's something they don't understand. They can't explain it totally. They don't get it. Well, tell me anybody that really gets what God has and understands it, because in his word he says he confounds the wise. The wise tries to figure him out, and when they've got him figured out, he switches it over here, and then they go, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. How does that happen? A and one, you know, it doesn't equal that, but God says it does. Yeah. He's confounding the wise. He's giving knowledge and wisdom to man. And I said that earlier about medicines and science and things like that. We are receiving just phenomenal information by God's wisdom and how we learn these things. But there's always a danger in that when man gets to be too smart. If they would just take it for what it is and not try to explain it away And if they can't explain it, they figure out if you can't, science says if you can't explain it, it's not possible. Or something like that, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But if it doesn't come out in their equations at the very end, and they can have an equation a mile long, and if it doesn't come out to what they think, they'll say, well, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. With my God, nothing is impossible. See, I get all this encouragement, I get all this excitement by that of the cross as I think back and reflect back, and I think, my gosh, Tim, you're not even talking a whole lot about the cross. We found a program on TV that we watch, Dean and myself, every Sunday. We catch services and things, and this ministry is talking about the message of the cross, and it is here, the message, or this is the power of the cross. And here's the thing, because how true it is under 1 Corinthians when it says that the message of the cross is what to those who are perishing? It's foolishness. That's why in his word it says that wide is the way to what? Destruction. Narrow is the way to eternity or to life and the things that he has. But the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the what of God? Power of God. The cross. The cross. Yes, the cross. So God loves us so much, he says, I want you to come back to me. I'll even make a way for you to come back. Jesus, my son. By his death, he'll reconcile you back to me. It says here, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Not through your giving, not through your attendance, not through communion, not through your baptism. He's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to walk in the ministry of reconciliation as well. We're to help others. We're as the same grace. Amazing grace that saved you and me. That's the grace that we share with others out there that we were like before we saw the message of the cross, before we saw the power of the cross, before someone, either in a church service or someone handed a little, maybe, a calendar that says, oh, hey, what is the gospel? God offers sinful people eternal life. Oh, hey, let's read that. It begins to enlighten them, begins to encourage them. It opens up some thought of them that they begin to see that grace and that mercy as well. We are too to be ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation. I've got to jump here real quick here. Let's see here, 5. My footnote of the Bible says, for the ministry of reconciliation is to announce the message of what God, who was in Christ, has done to provide atonement for sin. Is to announce the message of God, who was in Christ, who has provided atonement for sin. See, We've got to get to the people, and we've all been sinners, amen? We have all been sinners. You know, we go and try to share something of good news to people, and they go, oh, I am so bad, he will not want me. You cannot be too bad for God not to want you, because he wants to reconcile himself back to you and you back to him. If that's the case, why would he have sent his son to die for you? For God so loved the world. You, he loved you so much that he sent his son. So we got to get past that to say, no, he loves you. And the sin that you're in, yeah, it's against what God says, and God is against that sin. But, you know, we always say this, but he loves the sinner. That's why when you get a church or you get a person, you stand up against some of the morality corruptions and things that are out in our society, the first thing that some people want to say is, oh, you're against them. Oh, you're supposed to love them. Why are you like that? And it's like, I love the person. I, as Christ, would love them. I love them. That's why, and it takes an effort. I'm going to tell you, some of the people we come against, it's not my strength that I can do it under, but if I'm walking in his love, if I'm saying, Lord, put the compassion of Jesus in my heart and let me walk in that love, Because we know that Jesus hung out with all the super-duper good people, didn't he? No! He hung out with the thieves and the adulterers and the prostitutes and the people that were wrong and demon-possessed and everything against the things of what God would say. But Jesus went there. Because he says, why would sick people need a hospital? Or why would healthy people need a hospital? You know? Yeah, he's going out to where the hurts are at. He's going out to where people need a change in their life. And he received it more, and the people received him more, those that were the furthest away from God, than those that were Pharisees and learned men and priest, chief priest and all that. Jesus had more relationships with those of the sinful life than he did with those of the godly life, so to speak, back in those days. Because those that had learned and read of God and knew of his teachings and things, they were smart. They had it all up here, but they didn't have nothing in here. And then Jesus comes, and it's not that Jesus, he's got a lot up here, but he has a big heart. And that's God coming to live as Christ, a big heart, to reconcile those people back to him because of the love that he has. And so he hung out with those that were pretty nasty people of the world, I guess, you know, as far as you look at society, but look around Janesville and Beloit and Rock County and everywhere. There's a lot of those people out there, but Jesus died for them. Remember we had talked about we're to reconcile. The same reconciliation that we have been blessed by is the reconciliation that we have to help others as well, is to share and to help them understand these things. When we talk about, you know, trying to share the Word of God, and sometimes that can get into disagreements and arguments, okay? Because people start really trying to dig into the Greek and the Hebrew and the Hebrew and the Greek and the theological things and all these things that some of the words you can't even pronounce and all these things. But here's the one thing. If you've got a testimony, nobody can talk you out of your testimony. If you truly have had a touch of God in your life through some example of, I don't know, you know, marriage, a job, health, whatever the case might be, something that you were going up against, something that was a part of your life that you went to God and you say, oh, Lord, I need help. Open the door, make a way, whatever it is. And that was produced and you walked in it and you saw a blessing there. That's your testimony. You want to share the Word of God. He died for you, whatever the things that the Spirit would give you to say. But if they really start getting into the areas of trying to get you into a walking like a dog chasing his tail, trying to explain this, explain that, explain this, explain that. There's things that I've talked to some people, I said, you know, in the overall big scope of things, does that change that Jesus died for you and me? Generally, they'll go, no. Why are we wasting our breath trying to figure this little incidental thing out? You know, like Dan says, was it the seventh day or the sixth day? Was it a Saturday? Should we be having church on the Saturday or on Sunday? Is that going to split the church? Are we going to have, you know? I think God would just be happy if anybody and everybody would just at least take one day. I don't care if it's Thursday. Take Thursday and honor him. You know, if Thursday is your Sunday, praise God. Just take a day to honor him, to remember him, to reflect upon him. And I think really what's really great about this, I think, is that when we get into this relationship with him, is the fact that every day to me is a day that I spend with my Lord. Wherever I'm at, or if I'm going here or there, I've said this many times, you know, just a quick, hey, Lord, how you doing today? Thank you for this beautiful sunrise. Thank you. I had my granddaughter this last week, I was taking her to school, and she says, Grandpa, it was a beautiful sunrise today. I missed it. I wasn't looking out at the right time. She says, it was purple and red and blah, blah, blah. I said, wow. But those are those times that we spend with God anyway, so really, we need to be spending time with him every day. We need to be talking to him every day. We need to be praising him every day. We need to be listening to him every day. You know, sometimes we go, well, I'm going to go to church today and see if I can get a message from God. Well, if you're only on Sundays listening to God, who are you listening to the other 6 days? You know? You better be listening to God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We come together on Saturday, our Sunday, as a corporate body to really to join together in praise and worship and to pray for one another. It's been good. Some people have been here that haven't been here for a few weeks because of illnesses and all. People see them. They go, oh, it's so good to see you. Good to see you. That's fellowship. That's body ministry. That's encouragement. That's exhorting. That's to let people know you're important to me. That's what the church is about. It's a fellowship. Because you're the church when you go out of here. You're the church that goes forth and does the work of God anyway. But we come here to gather to maybe read some scriptures, whatever the case is, be touched by the Spirit of God, be in a corporate anointing, whatever it might be. But we do these things because of what He has done for us. Because of the cross, the message of the cross that I received many, many years ago. Colossians 1:20. I'm going to start in Colossians 1:19. Read just a few here, but let's see what it says. For it pleased, Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through what? The blood of His cross. And it goes on to say, and we'll get back to this, what I want to read, but I just can't stop. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has what? Reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul's out there ministering the word. Paul's out there sharing the word of God. Paul's sharing the good news. He's going everywhere to share the good news, and he's telling us what it has accomplished. Amen. We too go out and share the good news of the gospel. And we too can see and have accomplishments. Not that we're wanting to build ourselves up on accomplishments. I just want to go out and be doing what my Father says to do. How about you? To go out and just do what He says to do. He didn't say, Tim, go make Harvester's Church a 1,000 member membership. A 500 or whatever. No. Just go and minister the word of my word to the people and do what I've asked you to do. And you know, a few weeks back I shared on, and be content where I have you. Well, you got to be content where He has you placed, because He's placed you there for a particular reason and a purpose. Many times we won't even know it now. We won't even know it for a few months, a few years. We may not even know it for this lifetime. And then when He calls us home to His glory, we might be sitting there going, now, Lord, I don't quite understand. And you know what? You hear people of thinking about these things like, I've got a lot of things I want to ask Him when I get there. I tend to believe when we get in front of Him and see the glory of God, we're not going to think about things that happen on that side of heaven. We're going to be involved with the things happening in the heaven we're in that time. And we're going to be rejoicing and praising and shouting. Shouting. And then God will probably have one of these days as things calm down a little bit, and oh, okay, you can go see Him now. And God might say, Tim, I think you, many times back, I remember on earth, you said that you wanted to ask me something. Do you remember that? And I go, nope. You know, it's kind of slipped my mind, God, after I got here. All the things that were affecting me on the earth and all the things that were affecting me on the other side of where I was at, it really doesn't have a whole lot of bearing right now. I'm in a much better place. I'm in a happy place, a healthy place. Woo, hallelujah. Joicing and singing and rejoicing and having whatever the glory of God wants us to do. Praise God. So I don't know. We try to think about those things like, well, I got a lot of things I'm going to ask Him when I get there. I don't know. I don't know if it'll matter. And after He does tell you, it doesn't really matter anyway. You've heard of people having those near-death experiences, and they come back, and you know, they're like, I don't want to go back. It's too nice here. And you hear people say that the Lord says, it's not your time. I'm sending you back. It's not your time. But it seems like most of the people that get there, they're kind of like, I've never heard them say, send me back, Lord, I don't want to stay here. It's like the other way around. You hear those testimonies of those type of things happening. See, because it's a place that we can't even fathom. Take the most beautiful thing here on this earth, go to Rotary Gardens when everything is probably in full bloom and everything has been manicured and there's really just an ideal thing and every bush is perfect, every petal of the flowers are perfect. I've been out there and looked at these flower beds and flower gardens and it's just beautiful, amen. And I could just figure heaven is probably like this, but it's probably like a gazillion times even more bright and clear and clarity. I don't know, I just imagine. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh. So we look at this here of the blood. See, we ended on Colossians 1:20. At the end of it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood. Mankind was separated from God, in my footnote here, because of sin and had no acceptable offering to satisfy the demands of God's holy nature. Now, we know back in the Old Testament times, the only way that they were getting acceptable to him by what? The priest, once a year, did what? Sacrifices. You know, the unblemished animal went, blood, whatnot was poured out, and it just covered your sin. It didn't cleanse it white as snow. Jesus' blood cleanses your sin white as snow. Jesus' blood washes your sin. The animal of goats and cows or whatever, it just covers it. Jesus' blood washes it. Would you rather have covered sin or washed sin? Washed. I don't know. I say that and I try to pronounce all the words, the letters, but I always want to say wash. People, there's no R in that. And I go, yes, there is. Wash. 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 Seems like you got to make your mouth feel a whole different way. You go, wash. It's probably the southern slide where you just don't want to use all the letters. You just want to do, you can get your point across. Wash. Wash. Because of sin and had no acceptable offering to satisfy the demands of God's holy nature, God sent Christ to provide an acceptable sacrifice for sin, establishing a bond with those who received him, thereby making peace. It was specifically the blood Jesus shed on the cross that satisfies the demand of God's holiness, established a peace bond or covenant with those who received him, and provide the means for all of creation to be reconciled to God. Back in Leviticus, it talks about where it declares that sin cannot be forgiven without the shedding of blood. Because sin takes life, life is required to repay sin's debt. Jesus Christ gave divine life in blood to satisfy all of mankind's sin debts and to restore covenant peace between God and man. There again, we hear that word, being reconciled. That's that reconciliation, reconciling us back to him. Isn't that great that he loves you so much that he wants to bring you back to him? Wow. And then thirdly, thirdly, we look at it as this, that I want to read Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:14. Christ's our peace, it starts out at the heading. Ephesians 2:14 through like 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Broken down that wall of separation. Jesus. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus. Hallelujah. The cross. We hear so much about the cross. We could go on and share more and more about these things. In Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The believer, united by faith to Christ in his death, has died to the old life and has risen to a new life. See, that's where we talk about being born again, that spirit man being reborn. It's because of that, being crucified. Christ, I am no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Does Christ live in you today? I hope so. Because that's what people need to see out in this world, is Christ living in you. As we see up here, and how sad it is, the message of the cross is for us, means one thing, but to those who are perishing, it's foolishness. And it's kind of sad when somebody gets really so locked into maybe that type of thought process, or they don't even want to listen, because, you know, it does take faith to come into these things of understandings of the things of God. Because we can explain it to a point, we can read it in Scripture, we can do this, we can do that, but everything comes down to faith. My salvation I receive by faith. My trust and belief that the Word of God is in this Bible, and it is truly God's Word for today and tomorrow and every day after that, for it never changes. It's by faith that I receive this Bible as God's Word, spoken to men by that of the Spirit, and they penned it down into the writings. We could look at things like that and think, well, it's fallible, it's this or that, but I don't know, when things were prophesied 3 or 4 or 5,000 years and then 5,000 years later they happened, how does that happen? How does that happen? Put a man here now to write something, to predict something that's going to happen even, you know, 7 months from now. Chances are they probably can't get it right, you know. But God's word is true. To take it by faith that my salvation, to take it by faith that I've got eternity waiting for me to when that time comes, and I don't know, none of us knows, hopefully, that time, you know, that we are called home, and those times we are in his hands. We walk and trust him. The cross is a symbol of the love Jesus has for us and had for us. The power of God is to save us. It's through that, you know, the cross is showing that that's the power of God to save us. And the thankful believer's unreserved commitment to being his disciple. With what we get from the cross, it should stir us to spread and share the word more and more. The good news is that it is available for who? Everybody. So the encouragement of today, the encouragement as we look at Easter coming up, as we hear so much about, you know, the Passion Week and Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday or Easter, whatever the case is the power and all that comes off of that cross. And we still deal with people that it's foolishness to them. All I can do is keep them in prayer. I encourage you not to be wavered by that. I encourage you not to allow them to take you off of your walk with God. Be strong. Amen. Read his word. Meditate. Pray. Listen. You know, the cross. I should have had a song queued up for something about the cross, but I don't. A lot of good ones out there. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your word, how true it is. I thank you, Lord, right now that your word speaks into our hearts, into our lives. And that, Lord, it is for us today, your word. I thank you, Father, that we can go out from here and take your word with us. Let us be that light. Let us be the salt. Let us be that example, Lord, of what the cross means to us, what we received from the cross at our time of rebirth. But our understanding and what Jesus went through to accomplish all for us. And how willing he was as a man that could feel pain, that was able to experience pain and discomfort. And he walked that path and he allowed the soldiers to beat him and spit on him and mock him and do whatever. Not saying one thing. Not raising one finger to call those legions of angels to protect him. But he loves us. You love us. And I thank you, Lord, that you've reconciled us back to yourself through that of the blood of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that as we have freely received him, Lord, we turn our lives over to you and ask you to come, continue to come in a greater way in us, Lord. Help us grow closer and more intimate with you, Father, in these days. Keep our thoughts and our focus upon you, Lord, even in the trying times that we live in, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. But Father, I just thank you for your word today and how true it is, how alive it is, and the power that is still within it. Bless these people, I ask now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.